Praise God. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. What a joy that is. I hope they got that one recorded and we can hear it again and be blessed by that sacred music. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Our message centers around this thought. Are you a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Are you a good soldier of Jesus Christ? 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes under inspiration to the young man, verses 1 through 4. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You may be seated. The Bible uses a few illustrations of the Christian life. Sometimes the racer, sometimes the boxer, sometimes the farmer. Here we have the soldier. Now, if you're in the Navy or you're a Marine or other branch of service, that's not discounting you, but we're talking in Bible terms. In Bible terms, the Christian life is likened to an army on the forefront of a battle. Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. We know that Jesus fulfills other capacities. He's the shepherd of the sheep. He's also the lion. He's also the lamb. He's also our king. He's our creator. But the Bible uses the picture, the illustration of Jesus as our captain and you and I who are saved as soldiers. And this is the imagery that Paul uses when he challenges the ministry of Timothy as to whether or not he is, in fact, indeed, a good soldier. Sometimes the hymn writers pick it up. In fact, I have a hymn right here from John Peterson. It's a great hymn. It's called I'm a Soldier. It's not in our Living Hymns book. It's in this book, the Old Great Hymns of Faith book. But John Peterson says, a soldier in the army, the King of Kings am I. He called me to his colors, and for him I'll live or die. I'll go wherever he bids me. I'll do his least command. Beneath the banner of the cross, I'll gladly take my stand. I'm a soldier in the army, and the call to battle loudly rings. I'm a soldier in the army of the King of Kings. Great song. We ought to be able to sing it. There are others in our songbook, Onward Christian Soldiers. The fight is on. I'm on the winning side. Sound the battle cry we've heard about. Who is on the Lord's side, and a song entitled, When the Battle's Over. I like to hear that quartet sing, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. It's talking about being a soldier of Christ. This is the word that's used in the first four verses of chapter 2. He says it, if you please, in verse 3 when he says, a good soldier. Quality of the soldier is described as good. And then he says in verse 4, we have been chosen by God to be a soldier. It's interesting that when the Apostle Paul is writing in other places, there are two men that he calls fellow soldiers. I'm not sure if he means physically that they were actually soldiers. I don't think so. I think maybe spiritually he's using it as a term to describe how they stood in the battle, how they were willing to take a hit as a soldier on the front lines, and they were willing to link with the apostle spiritually. Therefore, he calls them fellow soldiers. One of them is Epaphroditus. The other is Archippus. These two men are the only two men in the New Testament whom Paul takes the liberty to say, these are my fellow soldiers. Could that be said about me? Could it be said about you that someone would consider you as a good soldier of Jesus Christ in the battle? Someone they could look to as an example of a soldier. We see here in this brief passage of Scripture, we actually see the tenets or the keys that make a good soldier. Let's mention them to you. The very first one is found in the opening verse when he challenges Timothy as his son in the faith. Please notice it, if you would. He says, thou therefore, my son. It wasn't by accident Paul said that. The very first evidence of a real soldier, a good soldier, is that they have a certain identity. A certain identity. I always wanted to go into the military, never made that check. When I was finally able to consider it, they said, no, you just stay where you're at. You're in you have a ministerial deferment, you're taking Bible training, we want you to stay there. I even considered being a chaplain. But in order to do that, one thing that's required is you do have to have an ID, and eventually you get some kind of a tag, and you're going to be marked with a number. They're going to know that you are, in fact, indeed, in the Army, and you're enlisted or volunteered, and they have a track on you. You have to meet the criteria. You have to have a specific identity. In fact, you can't go on a military base unless you have certain qualifications, because it's a very special class. The class of the military. The same thing's true of the Christian life. The very first mark of a soldier is that you're sure that he has the identity, that he actually is a son of God, has been born into the family of God. He is a Christian for real. His walk shows, his talk shows, his lifestyle shows, the way he acts, the way he thinks, or the way she thinks, indicates that they have the birthmarks of a Christian. You can see that they truly have been born again. Paul knew without doubt that Timothy was a soldier. He called him his son in the faith. He's not talking about physically, relationally. He's talking about spiritually. God had used Paul to lead Timothy to Christ. We already knew that. It's so important to realize that sometimes some people say they're soldiers, but you're not sure if they really are because you do not see the traits of soldier activity in their life. It makes you wonder if they've ever enlisted. It makes you wonder if they truly have become a member of the Lord's army. We sing that song, "I'm in the Lord's army." That's an indicative statement, but I'm going to ask it as a question. Are we really in the Lord's army? A soldier has certain characteristics that are true of him. And you can see by his behavior or her behavior that they've moved out of the devil's kingdom into God's kingdom. That they indeed want to be one of the followers of the Lamb of God. You can see it. It's obvious that they've been born again. There's a new creature relationship. There's a difference in their life. They have the signs of real Bible salvation, as Brother Gilmore shared. Sometimes you wonder if a person's a soldier. They may be AWOL. They may back down in the time of battle. They may run from conflict. They may fail to take a stand. They may be ashamed of the testimony of Christ. So you wonder if they truly have the identity. My question this morning is, do I have the earmarks that I have actually been born again in my life? We call those the birthmarks of Christianity. I'm a Smith because of my large ears and large feet. I have indications that I came from that genealogical path. How about you? Do you have any evidence that you've been born of God's Holy Spirit? Can we say with solid affirmation, she's a soldier, he's a soldier, I know it, they've been saved? Not just the fact that they confess salvation, but there's actually fruit of salvation. And when it comes time, push come to shove, to stand up for Christ, they're there. And you can count on that testimony is legitimate and real and authentic. They have the testimony of a believer. They say that in combat, one of the techniques they use to bring about the demise of the enemy is to put on the same attire as the enemy so as to bring confusion on the battlefront. You know, it's very confusing if we say we're a Christian, but we live like the devil. It's confusing to the battle scene for other Christians if they can't count on you and I to stand up for truth and not be ashamed of Christ when it comes time to stand there. We need some soldiers who are not ashamed of the identity of being a child of God. They're going to follow Jesus Christ. Is that true of me? Is it true of you? Can you say with assurance, my wife is saved, my husband is saved, my children are saved, my grandma and grandpa are saved? They're soldiers in the army of the Lord. There's no question about it. You can tell by their lifestyle that they are followers of the captain of their salvation, and they have been born again. Have you received Christ as your Savior? You can't be in the Lord's army until you receive salvation. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who takes us out of the devil's army and puts us into God's army. And so Paul said, "You're my son in the faith." But secondly, not only have obviously a certain identity, but we see in verse 1 as well that a soldier knows their strengths and their weaknesses. See how Paul says it? He says, "Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus." That is a command, but it's interesting that it's a passive command, as it is an aorist imperative, but it's a passive. If it's active, it means I'm doing it. Something I'm doing to be strong. But it's done in the passive on purpose, which means that I'm allowing something or someone to make me strong. And this is the point that Paul makes when he addresses Timothy. You need the grace of God to be strong in the battle. A good soldier is aware of the weakness of their flesh, the inability of themselves to be what God saved them to be without the Spirit of God helping them. A good soldier knows that there's certain things he can't do that only God can do in him or through him. And Paul says, be strong here. He talks about it in a continuing sense. Keep on being strong. Don't ever give up. Don't allow yourself to be passive. Don't be weak. Listen, folks, we have in our Savior, the captain, sufficiency. We have strength that we need. The supply is available. It says in God's word in Matthew 26, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. A ready soldier realizes their weakness, their vulnerability. They recognize their insufficiency, their incompetence, their inadequacy, and they learn also what their strengths are. Christian friend, one of the keys to being a faithful soldier is understanding that I can do nothing without the Lord's help. I need to depend upon Him. I need His grace flowing through my life, equipping me, enabling me, allowing me to be the Christian that God wants me to be. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says to Timothy, be strong. The flesh is weak in that it cannot keep the holy law of God. The flesh is weak in that it cannot obey on its own. The flesh can't produce authentic Christianity. It needs the power of God's grace. Salvation is by grace, but so is sanctification. Each day we draw upon the supply of God's grace. Lord, help me to be victorious today. Help me to walk in the Spirit today. Help me to say yes to the Lord and not to myself. Help me this day to be a Christian victorious in the battle. The victory can be won through our Lord Jesus Christ. Did Moses say to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage? The Lord is with you. Our strength comes from Him. David said to Solomon, his son, in 1 Chronicles 28, be strong, Solomon. Be of good courage. Don't be dismayed. The Lord thy God, even my God, will be with you. That's the key. The same man David said in Psalm 18, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my strong tower. He said in chapter 18, verse 32, same chapter, it is the Lord which girds me with strength, and He makes my way perfect. Folks, God can do it, we can't. A good soldier realizes I'm weak. Even Paul said that, through the weakness of my flesh, I'm made strong. As I realize I can't do this Christian life, I can't be the child of God, the soldier I should be, the Lord needs to help me. I need to depend on that help. In Psalm 19, it says this, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God is strong. God is sufficient. But it's no good for us unless we draw upon that supply. And we allow Him to fill us with His energy and with His strength, to make us adequate, to make us sufficient for these things. Psalm 27:1 is a great verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? God can put energy in us. God can put ability in us that we don't have. As you depend upon His strength and power, He gives us the ability to say yes to self, yes to the Savior, and no to Satan. Paul said to the Corinthians, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Several times in the Word of God, we see that admonition. Remember Ephesians 6:10? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Allow the Spirit of God to quicken us, to enable us. Paul said, I can do all things through who? Christ. Christ strengthens me. Oh, I need Him. I'm going to fall in the battle. I'm going to fail in the battle without Him. I need the Word of God. I need the Spirit of God. I need the Lord Jesus Christ to go before me, show me the path of life. Hebrews 11:34 says, they, out of weakness, were made strong. You know, God shows His mighty arm in the vessels of weakness. Earthen vessels, Paul called them. Clay pots that break apart so easy. I think this be strong statement is appealing to the character of the person. Have a character that is dependent upon God's mercy and God's spirit to be reproducing Christ's likeness. At the same time, it's courage, to have the courage to speak up and stand up for what's right. Be a bold Christian. Notice in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, he says, if you please, in verse number 7, God hath not given us a spirit of fear. In verse 8, he says, don't be ashamed of the Lord. He tells him not to be ashamed. Timothy, don't be ashamed to testify to the Lord. You be strong. You have courage. And then he uses two examples. We already looked at those. His own example, he says, hey, I'm not ashamed. I believed in the Lord. I'm not ashamed of him. And then he saw last time, look at chapter 1, verse number 18. He says, Epaphras, or Onesiphorus rather, was not ashamed of my chain. Verse 16. Not ashamed. Oh, to have the strength of character and the strength of conviction, the strength of confidence and courage, to not draw back in the day of battle, to not give in to temptation, to not run the race halfway and then decide to give up, to have the courage to continue to persevere in faithfulness, to have the strength and courage to confess Christ openly, even if it isn't appreciated. Or to have the courage to not deny the Lord by life or by lip. Paul says, be strong in that grace. How's our strength here as a child of God? A good soldier not only has a certain clear identity, but they know their strengths and they also know their weakness. And even each day of the Christian life, we surrender ourselves to a fresh dispensation of the grace of God. Oh, Lord, help me. Without your help, I'm going to collapse. Without your help, I'll be ashamed of the gospel. How about you and I today? Have we come to the place where that lifestyle of the soldier is helping us keep our spiritual conditioning in order so that we don't quit in the day of battle or become one whose back is turned under pressure? Whether it's the pressure of temptation, Satan's frontal attack, someone laughing or mocking at your position, a family member that disagrees with you, a situation where you're being asked to compromise as a Christian and give up your convictions for the expediency of getting along. Are you willing as a soldier to get on the front line and take the brunt of the hit of standing true regardless? A true soldier knows that their strength is in the Lord and to depend on him. But I'd like you to see verse number 2, that there's another mark of a true soldier, and that is found that those that are true soldiers will have a desire to recruit someone else. Paul says it this way in that great verse. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou. You know, the word commit is used earlier. Paul talked about he had committed himself to the Lord, same word. And then he described how that the Lord had committed something to him. We saw that. That's the same word. God had committed the gospel to Paul. He was to guard it. Paul had committed himself to God. God was going to guard him. But this verse says that true soldiers have a desire to reproduce, to mentor someone else, to help someone else come to know Christ and follow Christ. In other words, they have a desire to enlist others or recruit others. I had a good friend of mine who went into the military because he met a very exuberant recruiting officer. And the officer talked to him at a fare booth and talked him into considering going into the military, which he eventually did. And this guy took on the responsibility. He spoke to him verbally. He showed him all the things that involved in making a decision of that nature. He was available to counsel him. He came alongside him, was a friend of his, and he basically nurtured him into that decision to become a full-time soldier. You know, one of the marks of a spiritual soldier is they don't want to go to heaven alone. They have a desire to take somebody with them, show them how to be saved. They want their children to be saved and their grandchildren to be saved, and they want their friends at work to be saved, and they want those that they rub shoulders with to come to know Christ. And they have a desire to witness and share that gospel and see them come to that same position of salvation. It's a joy to be able to recruit someone else. By the way, we have a responsibility, according to this verse, to pass our faith on. He says, those things that you've heard, pass it on. This is the job of the local church. Colleges can help. And many times families have chosen to put their child in some type of a college to get training. But the best training center in all the world is the New Testament local church. Not only the academic, spiritual, biblical training, but also the practical training. On the front lines as a soldier serving Christ. Reproducing ourselves. Are you reproducing yourself in someone else? A desire to recruit a child and see them go on to serve Jesus Christ and become a frontline, battle-ready, unashamed servant, soldier, standing in the gap, looking to the fray of the battle in faith and being steadfast no matter what. That's a great privilege. I like this verse. It says, commit those things you have, those things that were deposited to you, you deposit it to faithful men. This is how it works, folks. I take what God's given me, I give it to someone else. They have the responsibility to be faithful with it. They pass it to the next person, and there's the chain of communication, that deposit of the truth. This is supposed to be ongoing. So there's never a generation that is without a servant of Christ, without a fellow soldier who can stand on the front lines of battle. Sometimes we've dropped the ball in this area. One generation holds the line with convictions, holds the line with separation unto God, holds the line against Satan, holds the line for the truth of God's word, holds the line against liberalism, against paganism, against secularism, holds the line against apostasy and spiritual compromise, and stands for New Testament Christianity. But within a generation, that can be lost because we failed to pass it on. A good soldier wants to recruit someone else, not only to see them saved, but to see them follow the captain of salvation. By the way, the command is for all of us. Mark 16:50 says, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And maybe there's someone out there that you can have an impact on and you can influence, and they can be a recipient of the deposit of truth that you've gotten. It's a wonderful thing to disciple someone, to see them trained, to transmit the message God's given to you to them. Are you able to do that with your own family? Have you had a desire for that? Who's going to carry on the truth to those people that you have influence on? During the Christmas time, around the 22nd of December, we have a special occasion for that. We decided to not have a Sunday school hour. We're having a morning service around 10 o'clock. At that service, the choir is going to sing the great Joy to the World Cantata. It'll be a blessing. We're singing that as unto the Lord, but we're making an opportunity to invite someone that they might hear the Word of God and have the opportunity to receive Christ and follow Him. It's a recruitment session. December 22, no Sunday school, come at 10, we have a major service. And during that service, the gospel is preached. After that service, we have a dinner, a Christmas dinner here, followed by a special Christmas sing. It's a great day. That's an opportunity for us to practice some recruiting and to say, I'm going to bring somebody to hear that. I'm going to try to have an influence on them. That's an open door. That's seize the moment. And let your influence as a soldier be felt. And try to deposit that which you've received with someone else. Good opportunity. By the way, don't forget to bring your special dish. Not chips and beans. Bring something great for a Christmas dinner. How about that? Think about it. Prepare. Get ready for that. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are as well. The Lord may come before that, but by the grace of God, let us make it an opportunity. I want you to see fourthly, look if you would in verse... I want to come down to verse number 2 again, the last part of verse 2. He says, you will be able to teach others also. And that is a good soldier, fourthly, knows the weapons, is able to use them. They can stand up in the battle because they're prepared spiritually. They use the weapon of prayer. They use the weapon of the Word of God. They are able to war a good warfare, as Paul said, to be a defender of the faith. To be able to know how to use the Word of God, to be skilled in the Scriptures. A child of God who has prepared themselves as a good workman of Jesus Christ, who has studied to show themselves approved, who's got a handle on how to use those weapons. Yeah, I know when you go into the military, that's the first thing they do is they give you that gun. And they say, that's your most important possession. You got to learn how to take that thing apart, put it back together. You got to learn how to care for it. You have to learn how to make sure it works. Give attention to your weapon. Folks, we have a great weapon, and we can't train someone else or disciple someone else and lead them out as a good soldier unless we know the weapon of the Word of God. Unless, in fact, that matter, have all the weapons on. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. From the head, the helmet of salvation, to your feet shod. And get the breastplate on and get the belt of truth on. Put it all on. Got to have the shield of faith. Got to have the sword of the Spirit. You'll never succeed without those weapons. Paul says here, you've been trained, Timothy. You take that and deposit it to somebody else. And as you have been taught, you pass it on. That requires skill. Look at Hebrews chapter 5 for a second. Here's a great passage to compare with that. The same man, I believe, wrote it was the Apostle Paul, but he talks about skill. He talks about Christian maturity. And I want to ask you today, as a soldier, are you prepared to give to someone else the heritage that you have? Can you replicate that in someone else's life? How much are the things of God a part and parcel to your whole conviction? He says in verse 12, he says, when for the time you ought to be teachers, he's in chapter 5 of Hebrews, you should be advanced now. But you have need that someone teach you again. The very first principles are basics of the teachings of God, the oracle of God, the mouth words of it, the very words of God's mouth. You got to go back to 101, basic ABC, first level teaching. He says, sadly, you become those who need milk, not strong meat. He said, everyone that uses milk is unskillful. That's the key word, unskillful. Not competent, not able to handle the weapons. A soldier of Jesus Christ is seeking to be a workman for him. Be prepared by understanding the Word of God and applying it and mastering truth so they can pass it on to their children, their grandchildren. It's our responsibility that by the grace of God, we won't miss the opportunity to be preparing someone else to take our place. You do something long enough or often enough, get good at it. So does the Word of God. We want to be strong in the Word of God, strong in the Scriptures, so that we can be on the front line and, be a sharp shooter attacking the enemy and not vulnerable because we've not prepared ourselves. A good soldier of Jesus Christ knows the weapons, but verse number 3 tells us that a good soldier endures hardness. Endures hardness, goes through a lot. A friend, it's going to be pressure as soon as you get saved to compromise, to quit, to cave in because of the world's onslaught, to take an easy way, to take a soft way, to coast rather than strive. The Christian life is a life of striving, striving against sin, striving for truth, running diligently, giving of yourself, putting the energy in, the effort in, enduring sometimes persecution, enduring rejection, enduring tribulations and trials. This is the Christian life. Paul said to the 2 Thessalonian, to the Thessalonian believers, he said, you ourselves are ones we glory in, because you have exercised patience and faith in the midst of your troubles, your tribulations, and your trials. We've used you guys as an example of a soldier in the front lines who doesn't give in faith. Child of God, Jesus Christ is an example of great endurance. As he gave himself on the cross, the Bible says he endured that cross, despising the shame, for the joy that was before him. He's called upon me not to be a comfortable soldier, not to be a soldier that's used to coasting physically, spiritually, but pressing toward the mark, as Paul says, seeking to grow in grace and become more like Christ. We have that tremendous commitment. I believe Paul said it in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, and I'll give you the verse, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Be willing to endure hardness. You've been saved not just to coast and go to heaven. You and I have been saved not just so we can escape hell. we've been saved and called to get on the front lines and stand for truth. Pass on the word of God to someone else. We've been saved to defend truth. We've been saved and expect to endure hatred, friction from Satan and from the world. There's a difference there. It's not a situation where we're just saved and waiting for the trumpet to sound. We're saved and we're in a battleground. And it isn't something that's going to be easy. It's certainly not a playground. It is a battleground. I would challenge every person here to ask yourself the question, am I willing to endure hardness for my testimony? Am I willing to face difficulties, depending on the strength of the Lord and not backing off? How easy is it for you to quit? Or how is it easy for you to back off of your original commitment? Someone doesn't like it, you receive some flack at work or in the family or even within your own blood family. And somehow there's a wall of resistance set up. Even Satan works that way. Try to discourage people, defeat people from making spiritual decisions. How far will you go until you finally say, I've had enough? The Bible says we're not to faint. We're to keep looking to Jesus. He's the example. The Lord can help us today. We have to say, oh God, help me not to quit under pressure. That's what this word endurance means. It means to stand under pressure for a long time without quitting. Lord, help us to do it. But there's a sixth sign of a true soldier found in verse 4. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life. A good soldier of Jesus Christ is not only one who endures hardship, but he's willing to give up and has given up the privilege of a civilian type of lifestyle. When you become a soldier, you have to surrender some of those rights. The rights to dress like everybody else. The rights to conduct your own life the way you want to. You give that up. You're there to take orders. You have a mission that's different than those outside. It's your job as a soldier to be faithful, and a good soldier is to give up that lifestyle and embrace the lifestyle of a soldier on the mission. This is what Paul's talking about. We can't be used of God if we're entangled. Trying to serve God and mammon doesn't work. No man can serve two masters, the Bible teaches. A good soldier of Jesus has a singular heart, singular eye. And they're committed to the task and to the mission. Nothing can distract from that. It won't allow any weights to hold us back. No entanglement is worth that responsibility I've been given. I wonder sometimes, as a child of heaven, am I living in a state of readiness? Am I battle ready? Have I allowed things, people, other things, priorities to entangle me, to enmesh me in priorities that distract from fulfilling what God has for us? Isn't it Paul who said, be content with things that you have and avoid covetousness? He hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You have everything you need. So keep your heart devoted and centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ, not upon this life. I wonder, child of God, do we have that singular passion that could help us be protecting ourselves from entanglement? It's not that the affairs of this life in verse 4 are wrong. It's not a moral issue. They can be wrong. But he's talking about priorities. That those things have been put in perspective as to why I'm here. And I've made choices in my values, considering the call of God upon my life and the will of God for my family. Therefore, I have to give diligence to that. Every day we have to say, Lord, help me to embrace that lifestyle of the soldier. And don't let anything get in the way. Even a good thing distracting me from fulfilling the will of God for my life. By the way, verse number 4 has a great ending. We have a desire to please him who has chosen us to be a soldier. And that's the last mark of a real soldier. A true soldier desires, of course, above all things, to please their commander-in-chief, just to be able to hear, well done, and to know that I did what he wanted me to do, the will of God. A devotion to, in this case, the spiritual battle is a devotion to a person. We battle for truth because Jesus said, I am the truth. We battle in the stead of our Savior because he's waiting for us there on the other side. We've been appointed in his place to carry out the mission as the commander-in-chief is away. We're waiting for him to come back and give an account. It'd be great to see someone receive an award for faithful service. I've been at one ceremony where that happened, and they awarded a gentleman. It wasn't a Purple Heart, but it was a great military honor. And they posted it on his lapel. And then they read the certificate of his heroism and his bravery. There's a tremendous testimony. It's kind of like the Bema Seat. At the Bema Seat, it's going to come out who the soldiers were. The awards are given. Maybe some will receive the Purple Heart for devoted service, giving their life totally and dying for the testimony of Christ. Many, many people have. But the point is, they do it for a reason. It's their love for Christ that motivates them. Paul said, for I am constrained for the love of Christ to do this. Battling for Jesus Christ is worth it when you think about him. Even Jesus himself sought always to please the Father, so we should please the Father. Isaiah 58 says this, if you turn your foot away from doing your pleasure on the holy day and call the Sabbath day a delight, a holy day of the Lord, if you will honor me and do what I want, not finding your own pleasure and not speaking your own words, but honoring me, I delight in that. Romans 8 says, if we're in the flesh, we can't please God. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, how am I going to please the Lord then? Well, I have to walk a life of faith. I have to walk in the truth of Scripture. I have to be willing to let go of the world, turn my back on the world, and embrace that lifestyle of the soldier. At the same time, I have to be in love with Jesus and have a true relationship to him, a desire to be like him. Paul said it this way, chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. He wanted us to walk worthy of our calling. We thank God for faithful soldiers of our country who've allowed us to have the freedom because they were willing to pay the price. That same reality is now transferred to the spiritual realm. When you are gone, when I'm gone, what legacy will we have left as a God-pleasing soldier for the next generation to follow? What sacrifices would we have made that could help them be free to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Every person has that responsibility. We exhort you, Paul says, by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of him how you ought to walk and please God, so you would abound more and more. So let's check it again, my dear friend. Paul's saying to Timothy, I want you to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and that is accomplished by having a certain identity, knowing your strengths and weaknesses, and drawing upon the strength of the Lord, recruiting someone else to follow you, knowing your weapons by all means, enduring the hardship of following Jesus, sacrificing an earthly lifestyle for the heavenly, and bottom line, pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to please him. I want my life to be acceptable to him. That's what a worthy walk is. What kind of a soldier are you? What kind of a soldier am I? Oh, may the Lord help us today. So many soldiers are asleep. So many soldiers have checked out. Many soldiers have become casualties. Are we going to be a faithful soldier, a good soldier of our Lord Jesus Christ? Charles Wesley said this, soldiers of Christ, arise, put your armor on. Be strong in the strength which God supplies through his eternal Son. Strong in the Lord of hosts and in his mighty power, who in the strength of Jesus Christ trust him as their conqueror. Stand in his great might with all of your strength endowed. But take to arm you for the fight the panoply of God. Leave no unguarded place, no weakness of the soul. Take every virtue, every grace, and fortify your whole. To keep your armor bright, attend with constant care, still walking in your captain's sight and watching always unto prayer. From strength to strength go on, wrestle, fight, and pray. tread all the powers of darkness down, and win the well-fought day. Are you a soldier of Jesus Christ? Have you received him? If you are a soldier today, are you active? Are you AWOL? Are you and I good soldiers of our Lord Jesus Christ? I pray so. We sure desperately need them today. Father, we ask and pray that even in this moment, as the words of Scripture ring in our head, we're to endure hardness as good soldiers of you. We're not to be entangled, but seek to please you as our Savior. I wonder if that's true. All about the battlefield, we know that many have fallen away. And if we look across the battlefield, we see those who've been wounded by Satan, and some who have defected and turned their back in the day of battle. We have some who have become cowards. And then there are some who have actually denied the faith. Oh, our Lord God, we're called upon to be your servants, fellow soldiers, if you please. And we want to walk worthy of our vocation. The bottom line of our whole picture is that we should love you enough to lay our lives down and surrender ourselves to being a faithful soldier. No price is too great. No effort is too hard. No resistance is too difficult for a worthy soldier. I plead that you would raise up from this assembly some good soldiers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who would not be ashamed of the gospel and who would not be afraid to stand against the enemy, who would draw upon the saving power and the sanctifying power of the Spirit of God in this battle, and who would win the day by walking in confidence all the time, doing it for the glory and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how we need that. With their heads bowed this morning, I wonder if there's some that might say, you know, Pastor, I need to enlist. I need to become a soldier. I'm not even a soldier. I'm not in the Lord's army. I need to be a born-again child of God. I'm a sinner. I know it. I need to be born again. I need to be saved. My sin will keep me out of heaven. And I'm concerned about my soul. I can't be a soldier of Jesus Christ until I enlist. I need to be born again. Is that true of someone here today? God knows your heart. If that's true and you're concerned about it, friend, I reach out to you and say, please come to Jesus Christ and be saved. Today's the day of salvation. Jesus Christ wants to save you, young person. Older person, you need to be saved. Man, woman, grandparent, grandfather, it doesn't matter who you are, you need to be saved. Come to the cross of Jesus. He's waiting. He can forgive your sins, make you a new creature, and you become a part of his army. Have the reason for living settled in your life. You know him who saves from sin, death, and hell. I wonder today if they're not sure that you're saved, if you'll come. As we sing in a moment that great song of invitation, I'd like you to come and receive Christ. If you'll come, we'll show you how, from the Bible, how to get it settled. Because we're going to make a decision today, one way or the other. Either we're going to follow Jesus or not. Either we're going to commit to striving to be a faithful soldier or not. Either a good soldier or not a good soldier. Maybe you'd say, today I need fresh surrender to being a soldier for Jesus, a good soldier. I want to get in the battle. I don't want to faint in the day of adversity. I don't want to deny the faith. I don't want to be casual, comfortable, carnal. I want to be committed. I want to be courageous. I want to be that child of God who's conditioned as a good soldier of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if there's people like that, and you'd say, pray for me. God bless you for that. Praise God for that. I see that. God bless you. Praise God. When we sing this hymn of invitation, it's number 826, I've decided to follow Jesus. I want to make it an invitation to take your stand for Jesus as a soldier of the cross and say, you know, I want, by the grace of God, I want to be that soldier, that good, God-pleasing soldier, and I'm refreshing my vows today to be that person.